إلا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book منهج السالكين by Shaykh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. The Shaykh says, ونهى عن قتل أربع من الدواب النملة والنحلة والبلبل والصورج رواه أحمد وأبو داود. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the killing of four animals: Namla, that is ants or termites; Wal-Nahla, that is the bees; Wal-Budbud, and Upu; Wal-Surat, and Asurat. So these four animals were forbidden to be killed. For this reason, the scholars they put down the principle that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbids the killing of any animal, it means it is not permissible to eat such an animal. Any animal that is forbid, it is not permissible, that is, that is forbid, that we kill, it is not permissible for us to eat the animal. Likewise, any animal that he ordered us to kill, it means it is not permissible to eat such an animal. Whether he ordered us to kill, or he forbids us from killing, these two mean that it is not permissible for us to eat those animals. So he forbids us from killing a big duck, frog. He forbids us from killing a big duck, frog, and toad. What is the difference between the frog and the toad? Huh? People be mistake there for each other. Which one do we eat? Some people believe we eat the toad, but it is the toad that is poisonous. It is the frog that is now poisonous. Yet, it is not permissible for us to kill the frog. Despite the fact that it is not poisonous. What is the evidence? There was a man, a medical doctor, so to say, who asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the frog. He said he will use it for medication. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam nahahu an qatlih. He forbade him from killing it. So this we should add words to these other ones mentioned. So whether the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to kill an animal or if for this or from Kenya and China, what this means is that it's not permissible for us to eat those animals. And this is what most scholars are upon. وجميع القبائل محرمة كالحشرات ونحيا. All القبائل محرمة أفضل. القبائل is a plural of the word قبيح أو قبيحة. When you see something is قبيح, it means again evil. So the Sheikh says, وجميع القبائل محرمة. All the قبائل are حرام. الحشرات لا يبدي الحشرات. Where did he get these قبائل? Allah سبحانه وتعالى سيحل له طيبات ويحرم عليهم القبائل. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم makes halal for them the طيبات, the good food, ويحرم عليهم القبائل and forbid them from al-khabarij. But the khabarij we talk about here is not just ordinary khabarij. Take for instance, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أكل من هذه الشجرة الخبيثة فلا يقربن مصلانا. Whoever eats from this bad shajara, he should not come near our mosque. Does that mean that that is khabitha? Meaning what? It is muharrama. You get it? You know the feeling of thought. That is the galit. Galit. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? It is shajara khabitha. He referred to it as what? Khabitha. So, the khabitha mentioned here is not the same khabitha mentioned in the Quran. So the khabitha mentioned in the Quran, these are things that are harmful to the body, that are filthy. That are filthy. So the Shaykh brought as an example, he said, al-hasharati wa nahriya, like the hasharat. Hasharat means insects. It also means the rodents, the reptiles, or the fall under hasharat. Some of them they call forward hawami and arb. Hawamu from hamatu. Hamatu, that is the animals that crawl, huh? They call them animals. So, hamatu, the plural is hawam. Hawam. So they say hawamul arch. So at times we hear the word khashash. Khashash. This also refers to insects and the life. You can collect the hadith of the woman that tied down a cat. She did not feed the cat, the cat died. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا هي أطعمتها ولا هي تركتها تأكل من خشاش الأرض. She did not eat food, nor did she really eat to eat from the insects or the tiny, tiny animals that walk on the surface of the earth. So the Sheikh says the al-hasharat, they are khawarij. I mentioned last week that Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said al-khawarij ma taqbathahu al-arab, for the Arabs, for the considered to be khabith, filthy. And this is also what is a khabith in the madhab of the Hanabila. However, some scholars they do not support this. Because there is no text that says what we should consider beauty is what the Arabs consider beauty, or what the worldly people consider beauty. is what we should consider guilty, no text. But the reason they said this is because when the Quran was being revealed, it was being revealed in the means of the companions in the cities. So things that they consider to be Khawarij will be Khawarij. Help to get the argument. So Allahu A'lam, there is no clear evidence for this. Because I may consider something filthy, or I may detest something, and you don't detest that thing. I gave the example of a dog book, lizard. Listen up, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam detested eating it. And Khalid bin Walid, when he saw the detestation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, Aharamuhu, is it haram? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِأَرْضِ قَوْمٍ فَأَجِدُمْ أَعَافُهُ. It is not in the land of my people. So I see myself detesting it. Just as you may detest something because you have not eaten it before. And at times, something that you detest, if you eat it, you may vomit seriously to the extent of what? Trying to vomit your intestine. Because you have not eaten it before, and because you already have the detestation for that thing, it's like they are feeding you with a poison. And somebody will eat the same thing that you are vomiting as a result of it. Somebody will eat it and still eat his mouth. So it's a kind of what delicacy. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala gave example of this in some of his books. That somebody brought al-kung fu, you know al-kung fu, this hedgehog. So the person brought it, he came to visit them, so he brought it. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said to them, this hedgehog is something that they don't eat. So there in their area in Qasim, they don't eat it. They detested it. So the man brought it. I think this is something that these people would like. But when he got there, the sheikh said, no, do not eat it. So the man went and killed it, he slaughtered it, and started eating it, he prepared it and started eating it. The sheikh said, you are just looking at it. So this kung fu. And there's another one called a mace. This, what's it called? Popcorn, something like that. Yoruba people, they call it li. It has thorns all over his body. Yes. Porcupine, yes. Porcupine, yes. So, this anus is similar to the hedgehog. The people, some of them, they tested it. Why should people will not see anything wrong? Those who tested it, they say it's haram. They say, what? Where is the evidence? They say, what? وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْخَبَائِثَ. Those who say it is permissible, what is their evidence? وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one that has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. So for you to tell me that porcupine is haram, you have to come up with what? The evidence, a clear evidence that says it is haram, or that puts it under the category of animals that are haram. Of this place. As you have it in Kullu the Mikhlabin in our toilet. Every bird with a hunting claw. Or Kullu the Nabin in a Sivan. Every animal, white animal with hunting fang. You have to be clear with it. Either that in general, But for you to say it falls under the Khaba'is, where the text that says it falls under the Khaba'is? For those who say it falls under the Khaba'is, so he will use it as evidence. And that's why it's called as the pipa, of whether you can eat porcupine, hedgehog, whether you can eat them or not. Because some will see them as what? Khaba'is. Some will see them as Khaba'is. So, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala also narrated another incident of somebody who almost vomited his intestine for eating something that they were not used to in their own area. So it matters a lot. At times you see people eating something, you want to copy them too. And when you eat, it becomes something else. So, and that's why the culture of the people also go a long way the Sharia. As long as we not do what goes against the culture, so you abide by the culture. So, وَجَمِيعُ الْخَبَائِثِ مُحَرَّمَةٌ كَالْحَشَرَاتِ وَنَحْوِهَا. فَالْحَشَرَاتِ as I said, the meaning is not only insects. It can also include the reptiles, the rodents and the like. ونهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الجلالة وألبانها. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم also forbid الجلالة. الجلالة is gotten from the word جلة. جلة means a route that is dung, dung, or العابرة that is human feces. العابرة عين ذا راء ت مربوطة العابرة that is human feces. الروش that is the animal dog. So الجملة means feces. So you know there is one animal that is carrying dog, either animal dog or human feces. There's one bee like that. Don't beat me. So this is the word jallala is mubalala. Jallala, that is an animal that feeds on jullah, that feeds on dung or agila. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbids the eating of such an animal. وألبانها and the meat of such an animal. And the meat of such an animal. Now, how are we going to relate this with what was said last week? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً نُسْكِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا سَائِغًا. Allah says that it's a lesson for you to an'am, that is in the an'am. What are the an'am? That is the cattle, the camels and the lice. There is a lesson for you in them. Muskikum in matibutu nihi. The Hebrew is referring to the general term. Ordinary means from what? Now that what Allah says was butu niha. So but here butu nihi, that is treating the animal generally, that is, in what is in their belly, Allah says will feed you from what is between the fat, the filth, water and the blood. Labanan khaliṣan, labanan khaliṣan, that is milk that is pure milk, fa'idan lisharibin, that is those who take it. From where? From the filth. And what? The blood. So when they eat food, the mama, when they eat food, what happens? So the food changes to filth in them. So that from that filth, the blood take food, extract from it, then from that meat is also produced. And he said meat becomes what? Halal. Because of what? Al-istihala. Al-istihala. The foods are changed. You know, the food before consumed by the animal is halal. Huh? It's tayyib. But when it changes to something else, it becomes what? Huh? Pure. It becomes fat. And when it changes to something else, it becomes what? Halal again. So from tayyib to najis, najis to tayyib. The same thing goes for the for the woman. A woman eats the food, food changes to what? Pure in her belly. Then from the blood and the pure, meat is produced, and the meat is what is tayyib. So we say the meat is tayyib and not najis. Now in the case of this galala now, the galala, that is an animal feeds on fuels, and we say the meat is not okay and the meat is not okay. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, it becomes galala when what it has consumed has affected the meat. And it has affected the meat. It has affected the milk and what? And the meat. So if what it takes does not affect the meat, does not affect the milk, it is not yet galala. And this is typical of most animals. We have the hen, for instance, now. The hen, at times, feeds some food. It eats it. But that is not the major food that the hen eats. So you don't call such a hen galala. You don't call such a hen galala. Is it clear? Now, if a cow eats something that is filthy, once in a while, you won't call that cow galala. Because that is not what it depends on. But when a cow depends on fuel, or a hen depends on fuel, or a camel depends on fuel, it becomes galala. So such a hen or a camel, you can eat it until you have purified the meat, or until the meat becomes what? Purified. Is that clear? No, animal that feeds on galala, at times when you eat, you feel, you perceive the odor of what that animal is eating in it. That means that thing has affected it. So what an animal is galala. So Messenger of Allah forbade the consumption of what? Al galala. Likewise, taking of the meat. In fact, in one hadith, he also forbade riding on it. Why riding on it? Scholars will say maybe the filth may be on his body, and with that he may get things with the filth. He may get things with the filth. So this is how we differentiate between it. This does not affect the ruling of al-istihala that we have talked about. Most scholars are of the opinion that if there is a hawl, something has changed from one nature to another nature. So this is permissible. This is what permissible. And that's why we mentioned the case of intoxicant changing to something else. According to most scholars, it is permissible. The Hanabila, to them, they see it as something that is only restricted to that of the Khali, that the Messenger of Allah talked about. If an intoxicant changes to vinegar by itself, so the Anabila allows it. Well, let's say another thing, if it changes to something, they do not allow it. But what is more correct is that as long as it has transformed, it has undergone changes, and that thing does not tell on it, so it can make use of it. So we give an example of chocolate, for instance, that has some amount of alcohol in it, ethanol mixed with it, in order to preserve it. As long as it doesn't taste intoxicant. He doesn't smell intoxicant. Jesus not saying. Jesus not saying. And this is what most of the scholars are upon. In the Ambali school of thought, they will say it's not permissible. But what the majority of the Madai will say is that this is permissible as long as you are not the one handling it. You are not the one that has handled it. May I mention this? Contrary to the Hanafi school of thought, you have the opinion that you can handle it, relying on things like that author of Abu Darda that said, Zabahat al-Qamra al-Ninan questions. That is the Ninan, the glow of noon, that is fish. The fish and the Shamsu, the sun, are slaughtered the Qamra. You get what I'm saying? When he had the fish and salt in what? He put salt in Qamru, in intoxicant, then he put fish, then he found it, he put it in the sun. So this changes, it becomes something else. So he said what? Zabahat al-Qamra al-Ninanu wa Qashamsu. So both who say you can treat, they use this asa. But wallahu alam, this will be a kind of ijtihad from Abu Darda. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the person that he was unwilling and intoxicant of an orphan. And when intoxicant was prohibited, the man requested if they could what change it to khal. Messenger of Allah said no. Africa. So if it's something that can be treated to become hal, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have allowed it. How this is clear. So this principle of al-istihala should be understood. So a lot of crack, you say they eat something, it has this sign or something like that, it means pork, it means this. So don't disturb yourself. As long as what you are eating is not pork, it doesn't taste pork, does not smell pork, and it has undergone changes. So you are not the one that did that. You are not the one that did that. So if we want to go by that, most of the juice that we drink today, the juices that we drink, so they undergo some things that they will tell you that they have some amount of alcohol in them. Two of us, for those who study tennis, I don't know if I'm communicating. Yeah? So they will say they have somewhat some alcohol in them. So this is overlooked. As long as that thing does not, the juice you are drinking does not have what? Does not have, does not taste intoxicant, doesn't smell intoxicant, and does not intoxicate. So you are not taking intoxicant. And that one is something that you can know one F that is during the production of the such juice. The one you can F is for you not to have what alcohol in it, that you can avoid. When it is done by a person and the end product that you have is a juice, for instance, or is this or is that, that is halal, so you can take it. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid al-jallala, likewise the alban, because what the city or the dung that it eats will pay. حَتَّى تُعْبَثَ وَتُطْعَمَ قَاهِرًا until تُعْبَثَ until they are kept. Until they are kept. And وَتُطْعَمَ قَاهِرًا and they are fed with something that is pure. Until they are fed with something that is pure.
So, the principle again, let me just go through some of these principles. The basis in things generally is permissibility and is al-hilm, is al-halal. The evidence is who الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. He is the one that has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. All that is on the surface of the earth. So, the person that tells you that a particular animal is haram for you to eat, you are not the one to bring evidence. He is the one to bring evidence. Because the evidence is with you already. That who has made خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Unlike when it is ibadah. In ibadah, الأصل في العبادات المنع إلا لنفس. The basis in ibadah is prohibition, except by the text. Someone is observing one nafila of salah or nafila of fasting. You ask him what is the evidence for that. So he's the one that should give you the evidence for the ibadah that you're doing. Because the basis is prohibition when it comes to ibadah. When it comes to mu'amalat, the basis is al-hilm. When it comes to what? Intaqatana deals, transactions, food, drinks. When it comes to this, the basis is what al-hilm is permissibility. The basis is permissibility. إلا لنفس except if there is a take that exists. How is clear? The animals are halal. The animals are halal. الأصل في الحيوان الحلم. The basis in animal is responsibility. Now don't confuse this principle with the principle الأصل في اللحوم الحرمان. There are two different principles. الأصل في الحيوان الحل. The basis in animal. Animal. Any animal, the basis is what? حل. إلا لنفس. Except by the text. الأصل في اللحوم الحرمة. The basis in meat is prohibition. إلا. How is this? This question. Who can tell us the difference between the two? الأصل في الحيوان الحل إلا لنفس. الأصل في اللحوم الحرمة إلا بدليل. نعم. Not even. Take for example, as I'm going now, I see a dead goat. I see a dead goat. Can I eat that dead goat? Why? Huh? ميتة. الله سبحانه وتعالى said حرمت عليكم ميتة. So this is ميتة. So don't bring the principle الأصل في الحيوان الحل. We say yes, الأصل في الحيوان الحل. For this is what حيوان ميتة. You get it now. So you can't eat it. So I see somebody now strangle to death a cow or a goat. Can I eat the goat?
No.
Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حُرِمَتْ عَلَيْكُمِ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَا مُرْخِنْزِيرُ وَالْمُنْخَنِفَةُ وَالْمُرْكُودَ وَالْمُتَرَبِّيَةُ وَالنَّفِيحَةُ وَمَذُبْحَ عَلَى النُّسُبْ. So you see, so al-mawkuda, al-mutarabi, al-natiya. So Allah mentioned the one that is caught by another animal, the one that is falls from the ice. So they all watch. They all haram. You can't eat it. So when you see an animal that falls from the ice and dies, you can't eat it. To tell you that what? Okay, this animal that you see now that you catch, so you can't really take. What has led to his death? Is it as a result of falling from the ice? Is it as a result of being gorged by another animal? leads as a result of being hit with an object, you don't know what has led to his death. So it means what? That animal is what? It's mashkur fee. Reality. So the principle of al-asl fi al-hayawan al-fil is talking about a live animal that has not been killed. So the basis is what is hell. Illa al-nafsin, except that you take that says, oh no, this is a tiger, lion, and tiger, lion, the lions, they fall under watch. Kullu rinabi min al-sibai wa akluhu haram. Where is now? It is with this text that you remove that from what? From the general principle al-aslu fil hayawan al-hulm. But al-aslu fil luhum al-hurma. You see an animal that is no more alive. You see it. So you can't take knife and start what's cutting the meat. That meat is what is haram. That meat is what is haram. Unless you get the belief that the animal has been slaughtered. The animal has been slaughtered, then you can eat. But if you don't have that belief that the animal is slaughtered, so the animal may have been washed, eat with an object, the animal may have been gone by another animal, the animal may have fallen from the ice. So all this, you have texts of the Quran that says you can't eat it. You get it now. Al-aslu fi al-lahumi al-hurma illa bidalil. Al-aslu fi al-hayawan al-hurma illa the nothing or the leaf. How do you see? Then we said, كل ما أمر بقتله فلا يجوز أكله. Any animal that you have been instructed to kill, it is not permissible for you to eat such an animal. Very true. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to kill snake, instructed us to kill what? Rat. What else? One ghetto, Al-Ida'a, Scorpion, Al-Afrod, Al-Ida'a, that kite, that bitch. So, Al-Kelb Al-Aqur, likewise the mad dog. Frog. No, he asked us not to kill frog. So that's another principle. Kullu ma nuhi an qatlihi fala yajuzu qatlihi. He asked us not to kill frogs, he asked us not to kill ants, he asked us not to kill termites, he asked us not to kill bees. What else? Frog toad. So all this, it is not permissible for us to kill. This I watch the principle. Now, when we say it is not, they forbid us from killing them or the actions to kill them. They forbid us from killing them. What if those animals are transgressed on us? Are you going to refrain from killing them or you can kill them? Somebody that is attacked by an army of ants, is he going to kill them or not? You can kill them in that instance. So you not apply that hadith, because this is what? And it's that they are transgressing on you. When they are not transgressing on you, they are great on their own, you don't see them. So if they do, want to sting you, for instance, now, or you don't apply the hadith, na Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and qatli, and nahilat, no. You can kill in this instance, because there is transgression. So, human being, it is wrong for you to kill human being. But when human being transgresses on you, can you kill or not? Wants to kill you? In the course of defending yourself, if you take his life, he wants to kill you. Then in the course of you defending yourself, you end up killing him. Are you guilty?
No.
But the belief is that the soul is sacred. You must not kill the soul. Whoever takes a soul, his own soul will be taken. That is the business. But this soul wants to take my life. Should I leave the person to take my life, or I should defend myself? Who would eat at least what? to eat in using watch. It's all right. How did you sleep? Then we talk about animals that feed on trees. That they are what? What's the name of the animal that feeds on trees? So if an animal feeds on trees for a long time, we say we can't eat it until that animal loses all those things that he has eaten. That is where you can go back. What about the animal that feeds continuously on fields? You get it. The animal doesn't feed on what? Continuously feed on fields. So that is where it's called as the gate, the principle that al-hayawan al-ladhi ya'kul al-jiyafu al-jiyafu, the form of jifa, la yajuzu aqluhu. The animal that feeds on Algiers, the pro of chief, what is chief? Carcass, carrion, dead body. It is not permissible for you to eat such an animal because dead bodies are what? Fuel. Then another principle is that al-hayawanu الذي يعيش دائما في الماء الحيوان الذي يعيش في الماء يجوز عقله وإن لم يذبح. The animals that live in the sea, it is permissible to eat the animal, even if it's not slaughtered, even if it's not slaughtered. And the basis is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطُعَامُهُ مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِلسَّيَّارَةِ. It is halal for you to hunt the animals in the sea, in the rivers. وَطُعَامُ, it is also halal for you to eat the ta'am, that is, the dead animals or the sea. We say it doesn't matter whether those animals resemble the ones that are on the land that are prohibited or not, according to the correct opinion. So you have animals in the sea, like shark, that has what? That has fun. So you have the principle, كُلُّ ذِنَارٍ مِنَ اتِّبَاعِ فَأَقْلُهُ حَرَمٍ. We have that principle. Now we have what? Shark. Shark is what? Dinar. But we say it is what? It is permissible for us to eat it. Why? Because of what? Because of another principle that says what? Huh? حِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ. How did you say? Now the amphibians, al-barru ma'i. البر معي الحيوانات البر المائية. The amphibians, animals, they are not animals that we classify under the sea animals that are halal for us to eat, regardless of whether they are fang or claws or not. So the Athenians, you give them the treatment of the land animals, not the treatment of the sea animals. So when you have an Athenian that have that has claw or fang, you treat it the way you treat the animals that have what? Fang and claws. And don't forget to say what the fang we are talking about and the claw we are talking about. These are claws that they use to hunt. If they do not use the claw or the fang to hunt, then according to the correct view, they are not haram. You get it? Would that scholars differ on whether a dog or hyena can be eaten or not? Those who say they can be eaten, what is the evidence? And those who say they can be eaten, what is the evidence? Ayana. Huh? It has fun. Now those who say it's not permitted, they say it has fun. And the thing Allah said was, "Kullu dinabin al-sibai fa aqlu haram." And yet it has fun. Those who say it can eat it, what is the argument? It does not hunt with that fun. It doesn't hunt with that fun. Unless it pushed to the wall. That is to defend itself. So, in addition to that, they said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in Hadith of Jabir that it is fajr, that it is a prey. It is a prey, something that can be untouched. You get it now? So that's the argument. Those who say you cannot eat it, they say that Hadith of Jabir is not authentic. Get it? So, those people also argue, those who say you can eat it, they said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the ruling that if you kill ayana during ihram, in case of ihram, you are to do a compensation of what? Of ihram. That shows what? It is something that is eatable. Those people, they said, the other people argue that no. The fact that they say there is a compensation for it does not mean it's something that is eatable. You may kill it, you hunt it, perhaps to benefit from the skin and things like that. And they also argue that Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, for instance, does not support the eating of rabbit. Fox, fa'lab. Does not support the eating of fa'lab. Despite that, he said there is what? There is penalty for killing it. So an animal that are not eatable, for instance, ordinarily we know that if you kill them in ihram, there is no harm. But if they are eatable animals, you kill them, this is the one that will attract penalty. This is the argument. So and that's why if you've been reading the work of the scholar or listening to the lecture of the scholar, this will tell you can eat ayana, this will tell you cannot eat ayana. The same thing goes for this animal, yarbur, or jarbur, yarbur, jabwa, that we call ukiti in the... A lot of scholars will say it's permissible to eat it, using the principle, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. But those who say cannot eat it, delighting it to rat. And the Messenger of Allah has instructed us to be killing rats. So an jabwa looks like what? Rats. So for that we say what we can eat it. So this, the other people argue that no, this is not, they are not defensive. They differ. Just like the Imaru Washi, the zebra, and the, what is it called? The domestic donkey. They are not the same in ruling. You can't eat domestic donkey, but you can eat zebra. So if you know where the scholars are coming, I mentioned that the most lenient position of mazhab when it comes to the eating of animals is the mazhab of Maliki. So like this hadith of Nahman al-Sulam and Atli Kulli Dinar al-Masibah, that is the report of Ibn Abbas, the report of Abu Uraira, and that of Abu Sa'lab al-Khushani, رضي الله عن الجميع سئلت كل لنبي السباع فأكله حرام. In the report of Abu Ibn Abbas they have watched نهى. So to the Malikiya, so they will say نهى, there is نهي of what? تنزيل, not تحريم. The نهى, there is what? It's نهي of تنزيل, that is it's detected, not that it is حرام. It is detected, not that it is haram. So they will say that animals that do not transgress on people really, on human beings when they see human beings like tiger, like lion and the like. So those animals, so it will be permissible for one to eat them. And they use the verse kulla ajidu fima uhiya ilayya muharraman ala ta'imin yata'amuhu illa yakuna maytatan aw daman masfuhan aw la'ma khinzir fa innahu rijsun aw fishkan uhilla ghayr la'im. So they will use it, but their position here is the weakest of the position. So what you have been saying before, any animal that has fang and horns with the fang, so we can't eat it. It is haram for us to eat. So this is a summary of what you have said so far. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with what we have added. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا
اله الا انت استغفرك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان
Now the understanding of the past is talking about the benefits of those animals mentioned. The Hanafiya, the proof on that is not permissible for us to eat horses. Because Allah said, "Tarkabuha," so that you can ride on them. So he said, "Wal-Khayla, Wal-Khamira, Wal-Tibala, Litarkabuha." So he mentioned horses, donkeys and moose, the terkabua, so that you can ride on them. So it means you cannot eat donkey, yes, you have evidence for that. You cannot eat moose, you have evidence for that. It's backward. But the donkey, the horse, so can we eat horse? Yes, you can eat horse. The Hadith or the Asad of Asman said that what? The ate horse. And the thing was, man was aware of this, so there is nothing wrong with the eating of us. So the verse was talking about the usefulness of these things, nor that we cannot eat us. So and you create what you will not be. Yes, Allah created some of the things that we will not know. He has created the aeroplane, he has created the cars, and many other things like that that we use as a means of transportation today. So, Allah.
And is it permissible to use the traces of seed as manure or any other thing for eating animals?
Now, as far as the difference on this, animals that the meat, animal whose meat is halal, the feces, the urine is also pure. Very principle. Animal whose meat is halal. The urine and water and the feces that the dung are also pure. And that was why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people who fell in Medina to take what? The urine and the camel, the urine and the milk of camel. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to take the urine and the milk of camel, and they took and they became well. That shows that the urine of camel is not impure; it is pure. So this can be extended to that of goat, cow, ram. Because we have the same thing that I need to work is halal. How is it clear? Now, the urine of human being is haram, as najis, sorry. The urine of human being is najis because you can't eat human being. So you need the urine of human being is also what? Najis. So the urine of other animals are also najis because you cannot eat them.
contrary to the view of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is of the opinion that what the urine of animals generally are pure, except urine of human beings. How this is clear? Am I communicating?
No.
I said the urine of animals that are not eatable, the urine is filthy. This is what most scholars are upon. But in the Sheikh Sahih Bukhari, you see a tarjama here using the hadith of the man who was being punished because of what he would not do his tinzah from urine. So Imam Bukhari used that hadith to restrict it to the urine of a human being that is filthy. As for urine of other animals, to him, they appear. But this is against what most scholars are upon. There is something close to what the people call ijma, that urine of animals that are not eatable is filthy. Now, I said urine of animals that are eatable is what is pure. Is there any scholar that goes against that? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala does not see that. What about the hadith of those people who took the urine of camels? He said that is what the tadawi. It is necessity that made them use it for medication. Not the urine of camel is what? Is what? Is pure. So you see two extremes now. That of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i and that of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So the correct view, Allahu A'lam, is that the urine of eatable animals are pure, is pure. The urine of non-eatable animals is impure. The same thing goes to their dumps. The same thing goes to their dumps. So the question is, can we use the dung of animals? So if it is the dungs of eatable animals that you are using, no harm. But if it is the dungs of non-eatable animals that you are using, or the dung of human beings, so these scholars, they have a lot of talk on it. But Allahu A'lam, there is nothing wrong in this. There is nothing wrong in this. You can use the dung of non-eatable animals in order to manure your crops and your whatever, you can use it. As long as when they grow, they will not be smelling those things. Just as the case of the Jalala that you have treated. Wallahu
a'lam. Is concoction of agbo soaked in alcohol or soaked in alcohol tarifu?
I think the answer to that is very simple. If it tastes intoxicant, it intoxicates, or it smells intoxicant, it's not permissible. That's one. Two, you cannot read that. You cannot undo that, as you have said repeatedly. Wallahu
a'lam. Is it permissible? Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, this lesson is threatening us, so then Ustaz must answer this question. I think you should give Ustaz, because we don't even have anything to do with today's topic. So we can see Ustaz behind the camera. Okay, let's speak to this man who is threatening us. Okay, look at this name is permissible. Farhan, Irfan. And the child has given birth to Saturday around 6 p.m. What issue happened for this?
Yeah, because the child should be on Friday. Because the child
was born on Saturday, so Saturday as the fourth day, you can't Friday with it. It's seventh day. So the article should be on Friday. Then Farhan and Irfan, both of them are correct. Huh? Farhan and Irfan, both of them are correct. Farhan means someone is happy. Irfan means knowledge. سبحانك لا علم لحمدك شرعا لا إلا أنت.